Would you turn with me, please, to the 26th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And to the passage of Scripture we read, Matthew chapter 26. Before we consider the word that the Lord has for us this evening, let us unite in prayer. Pray over the open word of God. Let us pray. Eternal and loving, gracious Father, we bless Thee for the gospel of saving grace. And we know, Lord, that it's not by works that men are saved, but by grace alone. And we know, Lord, that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Oh, we thank Thee tonight for grace. And we pray, our God, that that same saving grace will be extended to some soul in this meeting tonight. Lord, Thou knowest every heart. Thou, Lord, knowest all those that are Thine. For Thou knowest Thine own sheep. Thou, Lord, knowest them and calleth each one by name. And Lord, those that are not the sheep of Thy pasture, we pray that'll change tonight. Lord, save some soul this evening. Apply the blood tonight. And may some dear soul tonight be redeemed. Bless Thy servant, Mr. Saunders in Port Hope this evening. Lord, give him liberty as he preaches the word. And be with Mr. McClelland also. And all the faithful servants of the Lord. Now, Lord, come and shut us in with Thyself. I pray again, Lord, grant to me the power of the Holy Spirit, that I might preach the word, and in preaching the word, I might preach Christ. I ask all these things in the Lord's name and for His eternal glory. Amen. Matthew chapter 26. And the verse we'd like to consider this evening with the help of the Holy Spirit is that verse 15. And said unto them, that is Judas Iscariot, said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him. That's the word. They covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. They covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Now the evangelists Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this incident involving Judas and his covenant with the Lord's enemies. They all record this incident. And each of them, in recording this incident and speaking about Judas, they all remind us that Judas was one of the 12. Matthew said, Judas, one of the 12. Mark said, Judas, one of the 12. Luke said, Judas, one of the 12. For Judas was known to be, professed to be one of the 12 disciples. He was one of the 12, and yet he was no friend of Christ. He may have been one of the 12, but he wasn't one of the Lord's. And in this we can see his pretense. If ever there was a pretender and a false professor, it was Judas Iscariot. For this son of Simon professed to be a follower of the Lamb. Yet he was nothing of the kind. He was only a pretender. He was very skilled, of course, in disguising the fact that he didn't belong to Christ at all. He was so skilled in disguising this fact that the fellow disciples never suspected for a moment that he didn't belong to the Lord. For you recall, there at the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus said that the man that would betray him had his hands on the table with him, and all the disciples looked to one another and wondered who it would be. And when the Lord said, "One of you will betray me this night," they all wondered, "Is it I? Is it I?" They never for one moment suspected Judas. Not for one moment. He was quite skilled in disguising this fact, that he was really a stranger to grace and to God. Never knew the Lord. The only one who knew the truth about Judas was the Savior himself. For every time Judas is mentioned, the words follow, "He that would betray him." It was known all along that Judas would betray the Lord. And that night that Judas entered into the garden with a band of men with torches and swords and staves, I can tell you this, Judas did not take Christ by surprise. Christ knew all about it. For the Lord said to the disciples, "Let us rise and go thence, for he that betrayeth me is at hand." The Lord knew all about Judas. Just as the Lord knows all about us tonight. Knew all about Judas and his pretending and his false profession. And the Lord indeed knows all about those who are pretending to know the Lord. And some people are quite skilled at it. I remember in one of our churches that back in Belfast, there was a man there who had been in the congregation for a long time. Everybody thought he was a Christian. The minister believed he was a Christian and they gave him the position of a Sunday school teacher. And then under the preaching of a visiting preacher, this man came under conviction. And he had to go to the minister and tell the minister, and tell him, "Brother, I'm not saved at all." All these years I've been just living a lie. I've just been pretending. I'm not saved at all. And that confession, I tell you, took everyone by surprise. Wonder, is there anyone here tonight? That's how you've been living for years. Pretending. You maybe have it in your mind that because you're brought up in a Christian home, that somehow or other makes you a Christian. That's not true. You need to know a personal Savior. Maybe you've been in this church for years. You sit in the same place in the pew week after week and month after month and year after year. Everybody takes you as for a Christian, but you know in your heart of hearts you're only pretending. I wonder how many souls are in hell tonight who through all their days pretended to be a Christian, had nothing else to hold on to but a false, empty profession. And they're in hell tonight. They sat for years in churches like this. Listen to the ministry of pulpits like this one. Where are they tonight? They're where Judas is. That's where they are. Could I plead with you this evening if you have been pretending? Why not come clean tonight? Say, preacher, that's what I've been up to all these years. I'm not really saved at all. I've been good at fooling my parents. I've been good at fooling the elders. I've been good at fooling the minister. But I can't live a lie another day. Why not get it right tonight? Yes, Judas in his pretense. I think of Judas and his privileges. We can only imagine what it would have been like to have sat under the ministry of the Lord Jesus for 3 years. What a privilege. The privileges that none of us ever had. To have sat under the ministry of the one of whom it was said, never man spake like this man. Even in his own town of Nazareth. There in Luke chapter 4, as he began his ministry and preached from Isaiah 61, we're told that the eyes of all the people were fixed on him. And they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. They were transfixed. They couldn't take their eyes off him. What a preacher Jesus Christ was. Oh, I know they called Spurgeon the Prince of Preachers, but Jesus Christ was the King of Preachers. For never man spake like this man. Never man. Not then, not now, not ever. That was the ministry that this son of Simon enjoyed. Oh, what privileges. What was it like to have heard the gospel message come forth from the lips of such a preacher? What was it like for Judas to have had the honor, the privilege, to behold the Savior's deeds of mercy, his acts of love, his words of grace? Judas heard and saw it all. Judas enjoyed privileges which none of us ever had. And yet this man, Judas, this betrayer, trampled all these privileges under his feet and rejected Jesus Christ and entered into a covenant with the haters of Christ. And I believe with all of my heart that night Judas Iscariot made a covenant with hell. Judas made a covenant with hell. All for 30 pieces of silver. I fear that there are far too many souls who have gone to where Judas has gone, who in their lifetime has had more gospel privileges than many men would have in 100 lifetimes. You know, there are people, I would believe, in the city of Toronto who have never heard the gospel. Never heard the gospel. The only time they've heard the name Jesus Christ has been in an oath. A word of blasphemy. But they've never been told about Christ. They've never had the privilege of sitting under the gospel. They've never had the privilege of knowing that God's people are praying for them. Never had the privilege of a Christian home. Never had the privilege of sitting for years under the sound, faithful preaching of Christ. But you have. You've heard it all. You could nearly preach the gospel yourself. Isn't that right? Because you've heard the gospel so often. What a privilege. You know, my friend, if you've heard the gospel and heard it repeatedly and heard it many, many times and still reject Jesus Christ, one of the lowest places in hell is for the Christ rejecter who has heard the gospel for years. How do I know? The Lord Jesus has told me so. For did he not say in Matthew chapter 11, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. Matthew 11 and 20. Because they repented not. They had the privilege of witnessing some of the greatest works that Christ ever performed. Yet they repented not. And the Lord said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable. Now I can't fully explain what that means. But I can only take the Lord at his word, and the Lord says it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you, Capernaum, than for you, Chorazin, than for you, Bethsaida. It will be more tolerable for the people of Tyre and Sidon. But he didn't finish there. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And I can take the Lord's word tonight. And I can say this. I can say that for the people of this city and every other city in Canada who's never heard the gospel, it'll be more tolerable in the day of judgment for them And for those who sit in free Presbyterian churches under the sound preaching of the gospel and never repent. I wouldn't like to be in your shoes on the day of judgment. It'll be more tolerable for those who have never heard than it will be for you. And I can only tell you the truth. And this is the truth. You know, whenever a man rejects Jesus Christ, he does what Judas did. Judas rejected Christ, made a covenant with hell. I want you to notice Judas and his cooperation with hell. The chief priests and scribes were at their wits' end as to know what to do about this stranger of Galilee. They wanted to kill him. We've already read that. But they didn't know how to go about it. Oh, it must not be done on the feast day. Bunch of hypocrites that they were. Oh, we daren't do it on the feast day. Yet they were willing to kill the Son of God. And as the enemies of Christ were debating this matter and what they should do, suddenly Judas appears. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. We read in verse 3, "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted." There it is. There's the covenant. Judas entered into a covenant with these enemies. And they covenanted with him to give him money. Notice the words in verse 4. "And he went his way." That was the problem with Judas. He had always gone his way. He had always walked in his way. Never in the ways of Christ, never in the ways of God, never in the ways of holiness and righteousness. He had always gone his way. Here he's at it again, and he went his way. Just as the book of Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 14 and verse 12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." That's the way Judas was going. And Judas, by his rejection of Jesus Christ, was walking in the ways of death. He had rejected Christ, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And he'd made a covenant with hell and gone his way, the way of death. Yes, I know. I know. For 3 years or more, he had been at Christ's side. He had been at Christ's side, but he had never been on Christ's side. My friend, do you like Judas? Is there one in this congregation tonight? And through your often attendance, maybe faithful attendance to the house of God, you could nearly say you were at Christ's side. But you'd have to confess tonight you've never been on his side. Because you've never received him into your heart. You want to go your own way. And many young people today want to go their own way. They don't want to go the way mom and dad has taught them. They don't want to go that way that mum and dad has instructed them in. Oh no, we want to go our own way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You're on the road that leads to death and destruction. You might as well know that if you know not Christ. That was his way. Look at his willingness. The enemies of Christ were wondering how they might kill him. And suddenly one of the 12 offered them his assistance. There in our reading in Matthew 26, verse 14, and one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. See his willingness. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Jews and the haters of Christ, they didn't come to Judas. Judas went to them. And Judas went willingly to these enemies of the Lord Jesus. And my, when he appeared in their presence, we're told in Luke 22 and verse 5, they were glad. The word means rejoice. They were rejoicing. It is the willingness of Judas to betray Christ that we cannot help but notice tonight. His willingness to go down that road which would eventually take him into hell. And he must have known it. He must have known it. Couldn't help but know it. Sure, he had sat under the ministry of Christ for 3 years. And yet he went willingly. Betrayed the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. In Luke 22 and verse 4, we have these words, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains. Mark the word. Communed. He communed with the enemies of Christ. You never read of Judas communing with the Lord. You never read of Judas communing with his fellow disciples. You never read of Judas communing with the people of God, but here we read of Judas communing with Christ's enemies. And I find from this that Judas was far more at home in the company of the enemies of Christ than he was in the company of the Lord's disciples. Maybe that's how you are. Certainly, if you're not in Christ and you're not saved, I would believe with all my heart you feel more at home, more comfortable with the ungodly. You feel rather uncomfortable in the company of the people of God. You don't know anything about communing with the Lord. You don't know anything about communing with God's people. But like Judas, you know all about communing with the Lord's enemies. Is there a willingness then on your part tonight to reject Jesus Christ? You've heard the gospel perhaps for so long now that you find it easy to walk out through those doors. There was a time when it wasn't like that. There was a time maybe you stood in the hallway, the vestibule of the church, wondering, should I go back and speak to the minister? But not anymore. It's like the story I once heard of a blacksmith. And he bought himself this little puppy dog and he brought it into the blacksmith shop. And it would run around and run around his heels until he got a piece of hot metal out of the forge and started to hammer it on the anvil, and the sparks were flying everywhere. The little puppy dog went running into a corner. But as the days went by, things changed. And the little dog got used to the sparks, and the sound of the hammer on the anvil wasn't very long until that dog was able to lie at the blacksmith's feet. Sparks didn't frighten it anymore. Maybe you're like that. There was a time when you were troubled. There was a time when you went home from a gospel meeting and could hardly get to sleep at night. What about this hell? What about the day of judgment? What about the lake of fire? And for the life of you, you couldn't get to sleep. But now you can sleep under the gospel. Doesn't give you a thought. It's as if, oh, God forbid. But it's as if you're going willingly. Willingly down that road where one day you'll drop off the end of the precipice and into the lake of fire. Oh, God forbid tonight that anyone in this meeting goes down that road. You notice his wickedness. This willing cooperation with the Savior's enemy show us the wickedness of Judas's heart. Consider with me when the awful crime took place. Look at the words of Matthew 26, verses 7 to 13. And there we read about the woman who came and anointed the Lord with the alabaster box of ointment. She loved the Lord. She anointed the Savior. And when, verse 8, his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Do you know who led the chorus of criticism? Yes, Judas Iscariot. Now there he is. He has just witnessed an act of love and affection and devotion and consecration. And all Judas could think about was to go out and betray the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. You see, he had seen that act of devotion. He had seen that woman and her expression of love. He had heard how the Lord defended her. But it meant nothing to Judas. Maybe again, like somebody here tonight. Holy ordinances mean nothing to you. Prayer meetings mean nothing to you. Sabbath day means nothing to you. The Lord's table means nothing to you. All you're interested in is going your way, doing your thing. Rejecting Jesus Christ, making a covenant with hell, for by rejecting Christ, you're saying, I will be in hell. Don't do it. Don't do it. For you'll curse the night you sat in Toronto Free Presbyterian Church and heard this word preached and you rejected it. And for all eternity, you'll curse this meeting. And cry, oh, why did I not listen to the preacher? Don't make a covenant with hell tonight by rejecting Christ. You've seen his cooperation. Let's look closer at his covenant. He went to Christ's enemies and said, what will you give me? Here we have the price. Matthew is the only one of the evangelists to tell us the price that Judas agreed upon for betraying the Lord Jesus. He's the only one who tells us it was 30 pieces of silver. And regarding this price, it highlights for us the vice of Judas. Here was Judas's vice. Money. No, not money. No, the love of money. There's a difference. Often that word in 1 Timothy 6 and 10 is misquoted and they say, money is the root of all evil. That's not what Paul said. Paul said the love of money is the root of all evil. You think of the crimes committed in this city because of the love of money. Judas had a love of money. That was his vice. And for 30 pieces of silver, he committed this crime. Tell me, my friend, has there ever been a more heinous crime ever committed for money? And the crime committed by Judas Iscariot, selling the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. And how many over the centuries have damned their souls in hell because of their love of money. Ananias and Sapphira, the rich young ruler, wouldn't give up his riches. Because of his love. His riches was his God. And he couldn't afford, as far as he was concerned, to put Christ in that place. And he went away sorrowful. He went away. Sorrowful. If he never returned to Christ, I can tell you this, on the authority of this book, that rich young ruler is more sorrowful today. Because for 2,000 years, he has been in that place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. He's sorrowful now. What's your vice? What will you put before the Lord? What will you put before His salvation? What would you rather have tonight than Jesus Christ? I can say this with my hand on my heart. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Give me Jesus any day. But what are you holding on to? You don't want to give up. I tell you that what you're holding on to tonight will take you to a lost eternity. It will. It was his vice. Look at his value. He valued his Lord at nothing more than the price of a slave. Exodus 21, verse 32. That was the price, the money he received with the covenant that he had made with the enemies of Christ, the covenant he made with hell. What will be your price? What are you willing to accept in your rejection of Jesus Christ? I remember the night that I got saved, as if it was just last Monday night, for it was a Monday night that I got saved. I had been under conviction for some time. And that night, the 5th of May, 1969, I remember sitting in the meeting at the close of the service. And God was speaking to me, and I believed that night that if I didn't give my heart to Christ, the Spirit would never speak to me again. I believed that with all my heart. And I remember bowing my head and saying, Lord, don't let me leave the meeting tonight without getting saved. And I went to the door, and the dear brother, Tommy Ryans, took my hand. And he says, Reggie, why are you not saved? Oh, I knew why I wasn't saved. Because there were things that I loved. Things of the world I loved. I was into rock music. I loved it. It was into all kinds of things. And I knew if I became a Christian, these would all have to go. They would have to go. So I could see it that night. It was Christ or the world. And thank God for his grace. For he gave me grace to choose Christ. Never regretted it for one moment. Tonight, my friend, you stand between heaven and hell. You stand between life and death. You stand between eternal joy and bliss and happiness and eternal suffering. Choose Christ. May God tonight give you the grace to choose Christ. The price and the promise. We find that in this covenant with hell, the two promises were made. Two promises were made. Turn with me to Mark 14. Mark 14, verse 10. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. There's one promise. They promised to give Judas money. Now look at Luke 22. Here's the second promise. Luke 22 and verse 5. He'd commune with the priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them, and they were glad and covenanted to give him money, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. First of all, the enemies promised to give Judas money, and in return, he promised to betray Christ unto them. Two promises. You know, as I look at those words, I see how the enemies of Christ, the devil himself, will give every assistance to the man or the woman who's out to reject Jesus Christ. Hell will assist you tonight to turn a deaf ear to the gospel. Hell will assist you tonight along that road that leads to a lost eternity. Just as the enemies of Christ promised to assist Judas. Isn't it amazing how quickly men are ready to believe the devil's promises? What has the devil promised you? I can tell you this, whatever he has promised you, he can't deliver. He's shown you sin and he's promised you happiness and joy and pleasure. He can't deliver. He's a liar. He's the father of lies and the truth is not in him, and he was a liar from the beginning and he's still a liar. And here we are tonight telling you the truth. Why don't you take hold of the truth? Why don't you tonight turn your back on the devil instead of turning your face on Jesus Christ? You have his plan. Once Judas and the enemies of Christ had agreed a price, Judas set himself the task of betraying the Lord. He got his 30 pieces of silver and then he went out to execute his plan. From that time forth, for Judas there was no turning back. He had heard the gospel, but on he went. He had heard the prayers of Christ, but on he went. He had enjoyed many gospel privileges, but on he went. Barriers and obstacles had been placed in his way, but on he went. He had been given warnings, but on he went. Now the line for Judas has been crossed. There was no turning back. And I can tell you this. Dear sinner friend, tonight you go on rejecting Christ. There'll be a day, there'll be an hour, there'll be a moment somewhere, sometime, when you'll cross that line. And there'll be no turning back. You'll have crossed the deadline at last. You'll never be convicted again. The Spirit of God will never strive with you again. You'll never hear the voice of God again. You can listen to another 100 gospel messages. You'll never be convicted. you'll have crossed the deadline at last. And there'll be no turning back. And finally, and very briefly, Judas was condemned to hell. He had made this covenant. Now it was payday. Over in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, the words of the Lord Jesus in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's Judas. I wonder, is that you tonight? He that believeth not is condemned already. Sinner man, tonight, you're a condemned man. You're condemned. There's no hope for you apart from the Lord Jesus. Glory to God, Christ came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You can be saved tonight. And the truth is about Judas, he was a condemned man. He was condemned to die. He was condemned to damnation. He was condemned to outer darkness forever, because he believed not in the Son of God. Are you a believer tonight in the Son of God? That's the test. Not that you attend church, not that you go to a free Presbyterian church. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? That's what matters. If you don't believe in Christ, the Lord Jesus himself said you're condemned already. But that's not all. Luke 22 and verse 22, the Lord said of Judas, woe is that man. Woe to the man that betrays the Son of God. And I can say woe to the man or the woman who rejects Christ. There's nothing but woe and woe and top of woe ahead of you, awaiting you. Oh, the woes of the condemned soul. Oh, the woes of the lost soul. Oh, the woes of a perishing soul. Oh, the woes of a doomed soul. Oh, the woes of a damned soul. Tonight, could I plead with you in Jesus' precious name? Plead with you. Plead with you. To come tonight to Christ. Could I? Will you come? He'll receive you. He'll receive you tonight. But that wasn't all that the Lord had to say about Judas. The Lord said of Judas Iscariot, it would have been better for that man if he had never been born. And I'm sure that since Jesus Christ said that about Judas Iscariot, Judas, for the past 2,000 years in a burning hell, has been cursing the day he was ever born. And my unsaved friend, have you joined Judas Iscariot? You'll join your voice with his and curse the day you were ever conceived. Curse the day you were ever born. For you know that you'll spend eternity where there's no hope and no help and no preaching and no prayers and no sermons and no gospel and no grace and no God. What are you going to do? Are you going to join Judas tonight by rejecting Christ again and holding to your covenant with hell? Are you going to say, preacher, tonight, it must be Christ for me? I trust you'll come. I love your soul for Christ's sake. I'd love to show you the way. I'd love to kneel with you and show you how you can be saved tonight and know it. Will you come? Let's bow our heads in prayer. I do not know the heart of any man in this meeting tonight, or any woman, or any young person. But the Lord certainly knows. He knew all about Judas. And he knows all about you and me. And you know yourself. You know you're not saved. Maybe you've been a pretender. Why not get the matter put right tonight? Why not gird up your loins like a man tonight and say, I must get right with God, and it must be tonight? Would you stay behind this evening? There are elders there at the door, and I'll be there. Will you have a word with any one of us? You just tell us, I'd like to be saved. I'd love to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to join Judas. I want to be joined to Jesus. Stay behind tonight and receive Christ. You'll never regret it. Most loving and gracious Father, thy word has gone forth from the lips of clay. Now, Lord, apply it. Now, dear, blessed Holy Spirit, do thy work. Bring conviction. And tonight, bring conversion. Salvation to some dear soul. Oh, God, answer prayer. Answer the prayers of many of thy people. Answer the prayers of mothers and fathers. Answer the prayers of husbands and wives. Answer the prayers of preachers. Lord, answer prayer tonight. And save souls. Save them, Lord, from ever going to a lost eternity. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now till the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.